Well, another highlight of the last 12 months is our series dedicated to the unsung heroes behind the scenes working on film sets and TV sets. It was called Behind the Screens. And in each installment, we looked at a particular job that's not often spoken about in film and TV production. Well, I've chosen the installment today that's dedicated to the people who make and deal with firearms on set. In fact, they're the people responsible for making them safe. They are called armourers. And this has been Scott Warwick's calling in life for a couple of decades now. He's also the owner of Australia's largest collection of military paraphernalia. In this edition of Behind the Screens, producer Barbara Heggan meets Scott and checks out his array of uniforms and weapons and finds out exactly what the job of an armourer entails.
Hi.
Hi, Scott. How are you going? I'm Barbara. Thanks very much for having me out here.
Oh, yeah, no worries.
Shall we go and have a look at some of your weaponry?
Yep, sure. I think we can probably go down to the prop room first and look at the imitations that we give out to student films and independent films. Come in.
Wow, look at all those swords.
Yeah, so we do swords, and there's a bulk lot of one type there. That's an 1822 pattern sword, so quite common through the late 1800s.
Oh my goodness me, that is a lot of guns. What are they?
They're futuristic things that were made for an American TV series. They did one series, they never got the second series up. But at the end of it, they didn't know what to do with them, so we got them.
So do you get requests for weapons, you know, like futuristic type weapons much?
Not often, no. It tends to be older vintage things. I think people that are doing modern things will go and buy a Nerf gun and paint it and make it look futuristic.
Would you still need an armourer on set for a painted Nerf gun, or police? Do they still need to be notified?
In the state of Victoria, no, you don't need an armourer, but you do need to notify them if you're in a public place. And if you go and paint up a firearm and make it look real, yeah, it must go through the right channels with the Victoria Police. And we won't just give them out without filling out paperwork at our end as well.
You've got a mix of prop guns and real guns. Why would anyone want a real gun as opposed to a prop gun? Like, what's the benefit of having a real gun on set?
Well, the real guns for up close look real. The imitations look like imitations up close. So big budget films, they don't want something that can really, online these days, you'll be taken to the cleaners and canned completely if you've got fake guns and rubbish guns on set.
Maybe they was acting on their own. Maybe they wanted to get into Nirvana.
So exactly what does an armourer do?
An armourer eats a lot at the tea trolley. But look, we take firearms out onto set, and we make sure that it's safe. And then we get into handling techniques and make sure it's as correct as it can be, and try and keep up to date with modern techniques and make sure actors are holding it correctly and finger off the trigger where required, and just try and teach people the right way to handle it and be safe.
So what's a typical day in the life of Scott Warwick, or is there not a typical day?
No, not really. It's diversifying more and more. But look, a typical day on set would be to get there, find the safety officer, find the first AD, show them the firearm, what we're using, and clear it, and then run through protocols and procedures with those guys and cast. Yeah, then issue the firearm out as required and take it back as required until you're told to go home. All right, so yeah, we do a lot of moulding in-house these days, which we learnt to do back in the late 1990s on Thin Red Line. We were taught the basics, and we've sort of gone on with it a bit. If need be, we can mould a soft, a version of a real one for a stunt, or if there's a car crash or rollover, something like that, they'll want something soft and rubber. So we can mould soft ones, or we can make them in a rigid polyurethane as well if they want good detail. But if we've got to get 50 guys with a modern machine gun, you know, all the same, we don't have those sorts of quantities, so we make them out of plastic.
What are they? Being an amateur, I would say, oh, that's an AK-47, but what is it?
You would be wrong. That's M4 carbine, so used in a lot of modern films, TV shows, Similar design since the 50s, really, all through Vietnam with the M16 and still used today. There's your AK-47, just up here. And then there's those ones up there. They're still from the Matrix. They were made for the Matrix, for the white construct.
Okay, so what are you about to show me now?
Oh, well, we're in the vault here, and this is a standard sort of handgun that we'll use in the film industry. It's a automatic 9mm. So our first job would be to drop the magazine and make sure that's empty. And then we would pull the slide back. We check the chamber there, make sure it's clear.
Oh.
Release that forward. Ease the springs and the magazine goes back in. Here we have the chamber down in here, which is, you know, where the bullet would sit.
Yep.
And yeah, we check that, we make sure that's clear. Nothing sitting in there attached to the bolt face or anything like that. So we know it's clear. And then we can ease that slide forward.
Am I allowed to hold that?
Yeah, sure. It's all clear.
Oh my goodness, that's heavy, isn't it?
Yeah, it would be heavier if it was loaded.
Really? How much heavier?
Oh, I don't know. It depends on how many rounds fit in the mag. But it's not as heavy with blanks, obviously, but because there's no projectiles. But, you know, maybe another 100 grams or so.
It's amazing how nice they actually do feel in the hand.
Yeah, that's got rubber grips on it, that one. It's quite comfortable, good size.
Yeah, they're quite ergonomically designed, aren't they?
Yeah, they've been around a long time. This one's, you know,
hand that back.
1975 vintage. This one here's, you know, designed in 1911. American soldiers would have been using that in World War One.
Wow.
So the first thing I would say to an actor is take your finger off the trigger.
Oh, am I on the trigger, am I?
You were, yeah, that's the trigger there. So you just...
I'd be hopeless.
So you just put your trigger finger out straight.
Yep.
And that's, you know, and a that's... good safe spot. But if you're a soldier, I would tell you to make sure it's out straight. But if you were playing a gangster, I wouldn't say anything. If you want to put it in, you put it in.
Mm. I'm just going to hand that back again too. So when you're on set and an actor gets a gun in their hand for the first time, do you ever notice a sort of like a change in persona?
With the boys, yes, usually, yeah. They want to point it and muck around with it. So usually I try and be quite stern to begin with to say, hey, you know, you've got to be respectful and not play with it. I don't like hearing the clicks and what have you of a pistol being played with. And, I've had a go at a couple of actors about it. Yeah, I had to.
What's the difference between a blank and a dummy?
Blank rounds are the ones we use on set to give a flash and a noise coming out the front. A dummy round in a revolver we use to make it look like it's loaded. So it's quite visible with a revolver that there's rounds in it or there isn't. 90% of the time when you've got a revolver on set, they're never firing. You get them out and they might threaten and do all that sort of stuff, but you need to have rounds in there to make it look like it's loaded. Whereas automatics, it's not so bad. You don't need dummy rounds as much. Or if you're on a film set and you need to show someone loading, you'll have a specially made dummy round that'll make it look like it's real. And we try and mask it as much as possible to make it look real for the people that know.
And are either of those still dangerous?
The blanks are always dangerous. Yeah, you must be pointing in the right direction. You know, it's coming out faster than a projectile, that flash, and it's an intense explosion coming out the front, and, you know, it'll blow a hole in a can or, you know, most things. It'll tear it apart. It's quite destructive. So you need to be in safe distances and aiming in a safe direction all the time. And that's basically the main job of the armour, is to make sure that's correct.
I blew my butt off! I blew my butt off! Hey, no.
Yes, I think you could probably say this is the core of the business. It's been the longest part, really.
Uniforms?
Yeah.
So how many uniforms do you reckon you've got in here? I mean, it looks like thousands to me.
Yeah, thousands and thousands. No idea.
What's the most exotic uniform you've got in here?
We've got some old Victorian uniforms that are quite beautiful with a lot of bullion work that we really don't get out on hire anymore. We don't let them go out. They're too beautiful and delicate. You know, they'd be 150 years old now. So we keep them as a pattern, and we've got a lot of old things like that we do keep as patterns. Diplomatic tails with all the bullion work. I think there's a Greek one there in a green, which is unusual. down here we're heading towards our hat section and our modern police section.
Oh yes.
Got all of our belts hanging up and hats going all the way up to the ceiling on the shelving.
I didn't realise there were so many different types of police hats.
Yeah, look, it's good and bad. We've got to try and keep up. The current stuff tends to be a little bit easier to get. And then once it's sort of phased out, we hope that we've got enough and we can use it for future and people come to us for their uniforms. It's just not as easy to get anymore. That belongs to a Scottish Lord Lieutenant, that one there.
Wow, that's quite beautiful, isn't it?
Yeah, all the cuff has the Scottish thistle on it.
Wow. Are they real jewels?
No. It's just the bullion work. And that one's quite faded. So the bullion oxidises and, you know, over time it all goes dull like that.
Yeah, it's still very pretty though.
Yeah, some of the newer ones, it looks really fresh and beautiful. There's another Lord Lieutenant. You can see that's a King's Crown there, so that's how we date it, post-World War I. Post-1900, I should say.
So do you get dressed up yourself in some of the costumes you've got here on weekends?
No, scrub that question completely off.
Oh, come on.
No, it's ridiculous. And I don't shoot either. I don't have a shooter's license. So
right.
I've got all the firearms for work. And then once I finish work, I don't want to have anything to do with dressing up or shooting guns.
Armourer Scott Warwick speaking with producer Barbara Heggan on that instalment of Behind the Screens.